Good evening. Welcome to the Salyer Report. Today is Thursday, April 12th, 2018. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Our theme tonight is the tapeworm prowls your neighborhood. We literally have big hulking dinosaurs, multinationals, who are getting beaten back by competition all over the world, and they're prowling your neighborhood for profits. And there's all sorts of internal financial controls all over the place that are breaking down, and it's dangerous. I posted another follow-up to our recommendation to subscribers that you change your email provider if you're using AT&T, and that's just not AT&T as email provider, also as ISP cell phone provider. We've had several subscribers point out that they literally can't stay connected to the website if they're using AT&T, so I just warn you that the block at AT&T may extend beyond just email to all connections. We published net neutrality, why Congressman Marsha Blackburn will lose the Tennessee Senate race. Blackburn is the chairman of the subcommittee in the House Energy Committee that essentially let net neutrality get torn up and passed legislation that would allow the ISPs to basically take your web browsing data and sell it. If you look at what Congress has basically done in the area of privacy and governance, the telecommunications, they've allowed enormous monopolies to take place, and it's a serious problem. One subscriber wrote in, I'd estimated out what the cost was for Salieri and then other small businesses for these kinds of monopolies to exist. It's enormous tax. I figure I'm paying an extra $10,000 to $20,000 a year just in Hickory Valley alone, and that's the absence of competent political leadership and governance. And it's an enormous tax, and if you look at the relief we got on tax reform, it doesn't begin to make up to the cost of the monopolies they're creating. Somebody wrote in, I work in IT, mainly hardware side, and this country left competent, honest on most all levels years ago. I've also watched the demands of federal and local bureaucracies destroy a local small computer shop. Keep in mind, this was a place so busy when I would visit folks who were waiting in line. I'm now assuming that the most available access will soon be unreliable or too unreliable or expensive for any but the small elites, our New World Order masters. I keep older dial-up gear and I'm looking at mesh networks and other local options. It's interesting you say that because we're exploring whether or not we want to do shortwave radio. I should note that even The Economist had an article on driverless cars and said that driverless cars was going to be about central control of who could move around and who couldn't. We see more and more subscribers switching to Proton Mail and Start Mail. I've had an account at Start Mail a while, and of course Salieri has its own email, but I've just gotten one at Proton Mail to try that, and it looks pretty good. Start Mail, the website's a little bit slow and clunky, but Proton Mail looks better. Anyway, whatever's happening, we're responsible to surf the wave, and even though what's happening is very ugly and unfair, I'm starting to recommend to people that they check out Dmitry Orlov's older books on collapse. He has one called Reinventing Collapse, and then one where he compares the collapse in Russia to what it might, radical change might be like here. And it might help get you thinking. The reality is we're facing a combination of heavy inflation, heavy shadow work, and EMF rolling out with 5G, with massive mind control. I keep hearing from you that you're worried about people who don't get what's going on and are not going to make it. You need to get networked with people of integrity who want to know what's going on and are interested in making it, and that's what's going to increase your chances of making it. You need to let go as much as possible of the people who are not going to make it. I'm getting pressured to make a lot of our material available for free on the theory that it's going to help people. People are mind controlled. They don't want to know. It's not going to help them. And so people who want to know are going to sign up and use the information. And so I would really encourage that you encourage people to sign up and subscribe. And again, just don't worry about the people who can't face reality and are not going to make it. Money in markets, the dollar now down 2.5% for the year, so we're trading below that 92 line, but we don't seem to be breaking down far. Fixed income is still struggling along, the long treasury down 4.32% for the year, the intermediate down 2.4%, and the bond aggregate down 1.7%. Junk almost flat, down 0.28%. People still chasing yield is what it looks like to me. What's interesting is you're really seeing a change in the narrative on equities. The S&P now flat for the year. It's up 5 basis points. There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal that I thought expressed it very well about the growth narrative may not hold. Let me just read it to you. Stock market investors already grappling with the tech rout and the threat of a trade war are starting to reassess the fundamental premises of the powerful rally. The worldwide economic growth is on the verge of blasting out of a long period of weakness. The world's major economies started to pick up steam together last year in a break from years of sluggish post-crisis growth, in which the U.S. often seemed like the lone bright spot. Global output expanded by 3.7% in 2017. Up 0.5 point from 2016, according to the IMF estimates. The return of higher growth abroad gave investors hope that the long bull run could keep going, even as U.S. economic expansion entered its later stages. But recently, the global economic comeback has been in a bit of a rut, and the U.S. gauges of manufacturing and services activity have been pulling back. Retail sales have fallen for 3 straight months. Construction spending deaccelerated at the start of the year, and auto sales have largely plateaued. On Friday, government data showed a sharp slowdown in U.S. job creations last month, reversing some of the labor market's recent momentum. So the question is, are the cash flows slowing, and that's causing the drumbeats of war, or are the drumbeats of war causing the cash flows to slow? We've got a chicken and an egg problem. Home builders down 9.31%. That's in comparison to being up 31% last year, so giving up about a third of the gains. The European ETF up 1.12%, Germany down about 0.5 point, the developed markets minus North America up about 0.5 point, and large caps in China up 4.48%, and small caps up 6.8%. You almost wonder if the trade wars aren't whatever starts to happen every time the S&P starts to underperform the Chinese stock market. And emerging markets now up 2% for the year. Commodities up 2.81%, so definitely the sniff of inflation. So what's the big story this week? Clearly it's war. Are we going to war in Syria? Since we have no reason under international law to be there in the first place, it's hard to explain what, in fact, we're doing there. Remember, tomorrow is Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, the superstition began on Friday the 13th, October 1307, when the Templars got rounded up. Now, I bring up the allusion to the Templars because clearly this is a banker's war. We're seeing the city of London and Israel and France want to go to war. Germany and Italy, interestingly enough, refusing to participate. Here are the numbers. England gets 0% of its gas from Russia. The EU gets 30% of its gas from Russia. And Germany gets 40% of its gas from Russia. And part of this, of course, is about the pipelines. The Nord 2 pipeline from Russia into Germany just got its final approvals from Germany. We're seeing big switches in Germany. The head of Deutsche Bank just stepped down and was replaced. So big politics around all of this. The neocons are pushing. Bolton is pushing and Mattis is balking. The military knows this is very bad karma, and Trump is clearly being squeezed. I suspect part of the squeeze is Mueller working for the bankers, helping to make the squeeze happen. What you're watching is the codependency of the central banking warfare model. The military can't just say no completely to the bankers, and the bankers are screaming for war. In the middle of this, so I would say look for some kind of action tomorrow. If not tomorrow, Monday, but Friday the 13th could be a bad day. The Zuckerberg distraction, we had a major distraction in Congress this week. Mark Zuckerberg was pulled in, clearly very well prepared by, I'm sure, what was a very expensive group of attorneys. He was sufficiently scared. Clearly, Zuckerberg could have been knocked off his chair if he didn't perform well. Anyway, but he had his hair cut and had on a bright business suit. And, you know, and I would say did a remarkable job of sucking up to the situation. But he was there for three reasons. One was to affirm the Russian narrative. We have Mueller overriding attorney-client privilege, which is so outrageous you don't even know what to say, by busting in and raiding Trump's personal lawyer's home and office. And again, busting through attorney-client privilege, which is so outrageous, you don't can understand why the president is clearly frustrated. To say that this is outside Mueller's scope on the Russian narrative, there's been nothing, not a shred of evidence of any collusion whatsoever by the Trump campaign with the Russians. Certainly, Trump did plenty of business with the Russians before he ran for president, but there's no campaign collusion evidence that's been found yet. The only collusion that's been found is by the Democrats trying to falsify a case starting well into the before the actual election. So, you know, there's plenty of Democratic collusion, but there's really no Russian. But so part of Zuckerberg's job was to take a tiny amount of money that a Russian firm threw at the elections and trump it up into something major and important, which it's not. It's kind of a joke. Anyway, so number one part of the Zuckerberg distraction was affirm the Russian narrative in the face of Mueller's inability to find any evidence whatsoever of any collusion. Second is to provide air cover for net neutrality. Congress, frankly, in the last year has sold the American people down the river. The net neutrality tear-up is pretty bad. Let me give you an example. One of my attorneys sent me a list of the old FCC guidelines before they tore them up. ISPs may not block access to legal content, application services, or non-harmful devices. In other words, ISPs can't block access of any legal user to any legal website. ISPs can't throttle or slow down the delivery of any legal internet traffic. ISPs can't make a company pay to give its data packets priority delivery or prioritize the delivery of data from their own services. ISPs can't adopt practices which would harm consumers or people providing services on the internet. ISPs must offer transparent specifics on why they run their broadband networks. Okay, well, what have we been dealing with? If you read our request to subscribers, that they give us a email address different from AT&T, and now that we're warning them that there may be problems with AT&T internet connectivity or mobile connectivity in terms of linking with the Solari Report. What you're watching is a firm since February 23rd who's been blocking the content that those subscribers have paid for and requested, and they've done it without warning them or informing them that they're doing it. You know, to say that this is a broad violation and censorship is very kind. So Congress is permitting all of this to happen, and the administration is permitting all of this to happen, and I think it's much more important than many people realize. So part of the Zuckerberg distraction was pulling Zuckerberg in and beating him up as though everybody in Congress is a freedom fighter and fighting for privacy, which nothing could be further from the truth. And finally, it's a distraction from an illegal war and the fact that $21 trillion is missing from government and a few other things. So a big distraction, and the reality is Mueller has nothing and has expanded his scope well beyond the mandate that he was given. Congress deserves an F on internet freedom and privacy, and they deserve an F on permitting illegal wars to go on and basically bankrupt the country, not to mention allow $21 trillion to go missing. So there you have it. Zuckerberg was a distraction, and unfortunately, we cannot afford to pay this amount of money to a group of politicians to basically put on shows and avoid dealing with substance. To make matters worse, there was today or yesterday a new vote on a balanced budget amendment, and retiring Senator Bob Corker said it best. Here was his quote: What a joke, what a joke. It's the biggest joke in the world. It's a way for people to hide behind making tough decisions. I'm for a balanced budget amendment, but the way it's drafted, it's just to give people cover. We've got the House, the Senate, and the presidency. If we wanted to figure out a way to balance the budget, we would do it. So exactly. More show and tell and no substance, same as all the Zuckerberg distraction. Your taxes, if you're in the United States, are due on April 17th. Less than 1% get audited, but I would say again and again, make sure you are impeccable. If you look at what I think is going on with cyber insecurity, I think a lot of people have all your data already, so you need to be careful. We did a special report on tax treatment of cryptocurrencies. Please make sure if you have realized gains on cryptocurrencies in 2017, you file them. Another big political announcement in the United States this week, Speaker Paul Ryan announced his departure at the end of the year. Now he's getting pressured to step down faster since he's put himself in the position of being lame duck. If you look at Open Secrets and look at his current fundraising position, he's got $10 million in the bank. I'm assuming he can walk off with it, a very wealthy man. Another comment from Peggy Noonan in the Wall Street Journal. Speaker Paul Ryan's announced departure and the unprecedented number of congressional Republicans choosing not to run this November has me thinking again of where the GOP is. It's essentially a problem. Its essential problem is that it doesn't know what it stands for. It doesn't know what it is. It is philosophically and ideologically riven, almost shattered. And the one piece that still coheres, represented in the House by the Freedom Caucus, is least reflective of the broader base in the country. Senators and representatives still have not reckoned with the shock of 2016. They're repeating what's been said and following an old playbook. They remind me of Talleyrand is supposed to have said of the Bourbons that they had learned nothing and forgotten nothing. Some know an old order has been swept away, but what will replace it is not fully formed. So they're just placing, essentially what she's saying is they're treading water. She said Republicans need to be artists. Now, what I would say is the problem that the Republicans have is the same the Democrats have, and that is the tapeworm is on the prowl, and it's paying them to deliver the prey. And there is a very win-lose positioning between delivering the prey and feeding the tapeworm and what the general population wants. One of the things that's going on in Congress is the food stamps are holding up the farm bill. The administration's trying to put work rules on the food stamps. It's an auger of things to come: food stamps, welfare, housing subsidies. Watch all of these cut or turned over to the state without turning over the money to fund them. But the social safety net is going to get cut in waves. And that's simply a matter of the fundamental economics. And it's going to look very ugly because, again, you've got the tapeworm prowling for profits. And while their profits are going up, people are going to be struggling. South China Sea, there's several articles that I put up in Geopolitics this week. China is seriously flexing its muscles of what's happening. That's going to put more pressure on for trade war with China or pressure vis-a-vis Russia in Syria. It wouldn't surprise me if the Chinese space station coming down was in response to our ships getting rammed. I think there's a real electronic war going on behind the scenes, and that raises questions about another Russian military plane going down this week. So the sort of invisible electronic warfare, I think, is getting very ugly. Rape of Russia. I talked about the dangers with Joseph of the rape of Russia happening in the United States in the last week's part one of News Trends and Stories. If you haven't heard it, please listen to it. It's chapter one. We have more discussion throughout the part one in different places, particularly at the end. But you can at least get the gist of it by listening to the first chapter. You're seeing more and more people pushing different parts of a rape of Russia construct. I watched Jerome Corsi, the Washington editor for InfoWars, talk at the InfoWars conference at the National Press Club, and he's talking about, oh, we've got a downsized government. Sounds good, unless you stress enforce the Constitution. you can get something other than what you're thinking of. We have a group that I'm going to be asked about in the questions for Catherine called AIM, the American Intelligence Media, I think is what it's called. They're also pushing, you know, the deep state is really the civil service, and we've got to kill them all and cut them. And then QAnon is doing some things. But the combination, then we have Adam Kokesh on the prowl saying we got to dissolve the U.S. government and auction everything off. The combination of these different things are really can be easily misused to promote the rape of Russia happening in the United States. Here's the reality. Who do you want to run your regulatory and governmental structure? You have a governmental structure there. It needs to be cleaned up. It needs to be evolved. It certainly can afford to be downsized. We should have been reengineering government 30, 40 years ago. As I've said before, when I got to the Federal Housing Administration, I had 7,000 people working for me. I sat down and figured out I could do it with 250 people. So there's a tremendous amount of reengineering that can happen and should happen. But the reality is, do you want your governmental function run by big corporations and banks, or do you want it run by a civil service and make sure that civil service is clean? I would argue you want it run by a civil service. I mean, the reason you lost the $21 trillion is the banks and the corporations had the control they needed to pull that off. Anyway, the reengineering opportunities are significant. The problem out is we have the pigs out in full force. And if you don't have a strong governmental function, civil service, the pigs are going to have a field day, and we are really going to be in trouble. I would also say, given what I'm learning about dealing with the telecommunications infrastructure post-net neutrality being torn up, is I see the telecommunications infrastructure in this country is really designed to scarf up all intelligence on small business and labor and use that information to engineer basically as much income into large multinational corporations as possible. And Congress is there to help them because they generate political contributions from generating stock market or real estate gains working for large multinational corporations. So this is a dangerous situation. Our hero this week is a gentleman named Mark Robinson. I put the video of his speech to the Greensboro City Council up in editor picks at Solari.com. If you look at the video slider on the upper left, we have three just a taste, which are excerpts from the three recent Solari reports, including this week. But then there's a fourth video, and it's Mark Robinson giving a speech about why he will do everything he possibly can to prevent a compromise of the Second Amendment and having his guns taken away. The speech is so eloquent and so magnificent, you almost wonder, you know, did he get professional help writing that? Did he get paid to do it? I really don't care. He's the hero. It's a magnificent speech. He says, you want to know who the majority is? I'm the majority. I'm the first one taxed and the last one considered. And he's absolutely right. It's a magnificent speech. The other thing he says is, you got to be crazy to say that an AR-15 is a military weapon. It's a toy. You go into combat with an AR-15, you're dead in 15 minutes. It's pretty funny. The guy clearly knows what he's talking about. But if you want to see a very eloquent citizen tell you what the problem is with what's being proposed in terms of gun control, nobody's done it better. It's really excellent. And let's go to the movies. Our movie is a new documentary from Netflix. I must say, I think Netflix has done wonders for making documentaries accessible and now creating some great documentaries. And I really appreciate what Netflix has done for my life since about 2005. I have watched hundreds and hundreds of documentaries, but this new one is called Take Your Pills, and it's about the increasing use and addiction among young people of Adderall and other amphetamine stimulants. I had no idea that it was the growth of these kinds of stimulants was as great as it is. And not only that, that it was as socially acceptable, not only to the kids, but to the families and parents. What's interesting about the story to me is how many people, from all indications, think that it improves their performance when it doesn't. It simply improves their perception of their performance, and it decreases the stress they feel about their performance. But clearly, the addiction of this culture to drugs is amazing. Now, it's interesting. This always happens to me. On Wednesday, I had dental surgery and went into the pharmacy to get the prescribed pills, including antibiotics, which I hate to take, but on occasion like this will do. And I'm always stunned at the amount of drugs that have been prepared and are waiting for people to pick them up. We're a society that is literally floating on a sea of pharmaceuticals, and I have no idea how any society can survive at this level of drugging. Anyway, but it's very interesting, and if you've got kids in high school or college, I strongly recommend that you take a look at it, because this is a very significant trend and very disturbing trend, and it's being portrayed as something that is acceptable, you know, if not fashionable, and that really concerns me. Our interview this evening is the second part with Dr. Farrell. What a great conversation that was. I can't tell you what a treasure Joseph Farrell is for the world, and it's always great to go over with him. I went over two Friday nights ago, and we had dinner and talked, and then I came back and we recorded, and it's really a marvelous time to, you know, I think I understand what's going on, and then we go through the discipline of working through all the stories and distilling it down into the top stories, and then I go over and chew through it with Joseph, and as we chew through it, we just, you know, so much more emerges. You kind of see the game. It's a, for me, it's always a very rich process. I used just my quote in the commentary, a quote from one of the top news videos of the quarter from Trump's speech in San Diego in March 2018. In space, the United States is going to do Colonel John Glenn Proud. We are finally going to lead again. You see what's happening? You see the rockets going up left and right? You haven't seen that for a long time. Very soon we're going to Mars. You wouldn't have been going to Mars if my opponent won. You wouldn't even be thinking about it. A new national strategy for space recognizes that space is a warfighting domain just like the land, sea, land, air, and sea. We may even have a space force. Develop another one. Space Force. We have the Air Force. We will have the Space Force. Last week, we covered the top 10 stories in economy and financial markets and geopolitics. This week, we cover culture, science and technology, space, food and health, top 10 stories in those areas, and then we go into go local, unanswered questions, and inspiration. Anyway, not as quite as heavy a conversation as last week, because we, you know, the rape of Russia was a very long discussion in Chapter 1, a lot to cover this week as well. And so remember, log in if you can while you're listening to look at the web presentation, because in the news, trends, and stories section, we have for each of the top 10 stories in the two parts, we show you the links of some of what we think are the most important stories and have a little bit of a commentary, not the kind we do in the annual wrap-up. And then we have the Trump report card and the top news videos as well. And there are some real doozies, including Putin's speech on his magical, mysterious weapons and Trump's speech in San Diego about his magical, mysterious weapons. And unfortunately, you know, the future of the dollar comes down, in fact, to a lot of the magical, mysterious weapons. And it's frustrating because it's very hard to get your hands on it. Anyway, so this week is part two. So that last week and this week are the news, trends, and stories section. Next week, we'll go into the equity markets, and I'm going to focus. We'll have the new blockbuster chartology from Rambus, but I'm going to discuss a lot more about what it means to you to prepare your personal financial situation and your your whole time management situation for a possible rape of Russia scenario, whether it comes after the midterm elections or the presidential elections. I sort of think the hunt is on. Then in the final week, we'll address our first quarter 2018 wrap-up theme, who's who and what's up in the space-based economy. Investment in space is a very long live trend, and we're going to review the different activities, industry sectors. I want to provide a framework for thinking about the space-based economy. So this is that's my big goal here, is to give you an overview and a conceptual framework that we can work with over the next couple of years. And then we're going to provide updates on the lists of public and private enterprises so you can see the player. So first quarter 2018 wrap-up space-based economy, very rich discussion, in part because the trends in particularly geopolitically and in economy and financial markets are really accelerating, and the change that I described in the last two annual wrap-ups is accelerating dramatically. Okay, ask Catherine. Hello, Catherine. Do you know about this organization and the Linguists to National Liberty Alliance? The people on Q-Site.com before the storm are promoting it. They're asking all Q followers to get active in local politics. I think it is important to be active in local politics. The federal credit is really controlled one county at a time, and so it's crazy to pay a lot of attention to the national elections if you're not making sure you've got the local hierarchy nailed down. Catherine, I'm a Slayer subscriber and just listened to the first hour of your conversation with Joseph Farrell on the rape of Russia. What you say is interesting, and I will certainly listen to more of what you and Joseph have to say. My question is, who is behind the planned rape of the U.S.? In particular, I'm interested in who decided to do such a plan and what the command chain looks like to implement it. I realize that it's difficult to figure out, but I'm interested in anything you and Joseph know about this question. I will be in the second group to visit Australia with you in May, and look forward to talking with you about this and other topics. We've covered a huge amount of this on the Solaire Report. Joseph and I did several on the integration of the Nazis into the metastructure and sort of what the metastructure is, who runs things, and how those networks work. Part of this is, once you've engineered the financial coup d'etat, the question is how you basically finish reorganizing what remains. And that's a pretty big topic, too big for Ask Catherine. When we're in Australia, since you're coming, there is Richard is going to give a presentation on the implications to control of the national security state and basically the black budget and the sort of effort at dealing with the whole sort of space and extraterrestrial issues. And that's a perfect construct to have this conversation. So I look forward to getting into this in Uluru, particularly after Richard talks about, we're going to have one day where he talks about ancient aliens and then talks about sort of the control model that comes out of the national security state. And then he's going to do one on false flags. And all of those feed into your question very well. So I think we're going to have a very rich conversation. Hello, Catherine. As an AT&T internet customer for many years, I was noticing some strange things going on within my email a few months ago, which expedited my email change to Start Mail last month. I've contacted your office on numerous occasions to get my address change logged, but recently I've noticed that no Solaria emails are coming in now on my Start Mail account. If I remember correctly, Solaria notifies subscribers when the weekly reports have appeared on the site. If that is so, I'm not receiving that kind of information from Solaria. Who would have thought AT&T is a dirtbag company? Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. If you look, because I work on investment screens, and the idea is to screen out the people who engage as a business model in sort of the most unethical or illegal behavior, and AT&T is certainly on the top of my list and has been for many decades. After reading your warning regarding AT&T, I'm now digging around to find a wireless ISP that is reliable and trustworthy. Frankly, none of the information I've dug up addresses any of the type of issues you've warned us about. Well, remember, they just tore up net neutrality. So I think these changes reflect the change in net neutrality. So this is new. Aren't all the mainstream carriers just a suspect? So far, we haven't had any problems with anyone else. So I can't promise, but it certainly looks, you know, when the website went down, we were blocked by Google and Yahoo. There's a process to appeal that, and we did, and the blocks came off very quickly. So if you look at the article, the recommendation we wrote to subscribers, we provide some of the documentation of our many efforts to communicate with AT&T. So, and if you look at sort of the history of all the different things we've done and their ability to continually block us even as we change the domain or the web server we use to mail you, I think there's a very intentional and high priority block here. I can only wonder how much of the $21 trillion AT&T is liable for, because they provide significant information systems and IT services to the U.S. government. They get paid $2 billion a year by the U.S. government. And I'm beginning to wonder what their role in the $21 trillion was the more we get blocked. I've gone to sites that review services, et cetera, and have hit a brick wall. Can you point us to a source where we can locate a decent carrier so we can totally dump AT&T? One thing I will say, in many areas of the country, the feedback I'm getting from several subscribers is they're, after going through them all, they're deciding to use Charter. But as I said, we have had no problems with anyone else so far. I was pleased to hear you read my last email to you within the Money and Markets report regarding the trustworthiness of treasuries. We've recently moved a very large amount into our Treasury Direct account, mostly one-month bills, so we should be able to pull it out within a short amount of time. Your warning practically set my hair on fire. No, not really, but talk about being flummoxed, thinking we were doing what was prudent and safe. Even Vanguard moved their money market funds into Federal Treasury money market last year for safety. Your invaluable interviews and your new site keep me thinking. Stay safe, and if no one can find me, I'm hiding under my bed wearing a crash helmet. I don't anticipate problems with treasuries. The soonest I can imagine would be after the election. But the reality is, when you have this much lawlessness in the behavior by the government, and lawlessness being proposed by the general population, including the independent media, makes me very, very nervous. The next question, I've only finished chapter one and I'm hyperventilating a bit. This is really happening. Regarding you and Joseph's comments at the end, encouraging listeners to share in context of paid content, copyright restrictions, etc., how much liberty do I have to repost some of this information via Twitter and Zero Hedge, etc.? It's fine to share the audio and transcripts with your immediate family. We encourage you to do that. And it's certainly okay to summarize in your own words for reposting what we've said and recommend to others that they subscribe. Dr. Farrell and I can help the people who fund us help them. So if you pay us to help you, we can afford to help you. It's very important to have an economically sustainable model. We don't want to be dependent on ads from YouTube, or, you know, all the independent media that got demonetized was the ones that was getting money from social media and these corporate groups. We don't want to do that. We just want to, you know, work for the people who pay us and work directly for them. But we can only do what we can fund. So I would really encourage you to encourage other people to subscribe if you think this information can help them. Hello, Catherine. And then I get a question about America. What's their name? American Intelligence Media, I think. Who is it? It's Douglas Gabriel, a.k.a. Thomas Paine. Okay, so I'm going to say this because I don't want to discuss this too many times. Whenever you drag the dead rats in and I have to go through and address why the information is not useful, you know, it's always a negative process, and I don't want to dish other people. Harry Blaser wanted to interview, I'll refer to him as Tom Paine, although there's an excellent Tom Paine around, and I think one of the reasons he's using the name Tom Paine is to kind of white that guy out. Anyway, Harry wanted to interview him and did an interview with him, and there was a lot of what I would consider to be BS in it, and I went through it with Harry and said, look, you can't you can't, I'm not, I, you don't want to publish this this way. So he went back and went through that with him again and finally edited the interview down to something that was okay. But I said to Harry, look, this guy just isn't vetted yet. Then he proceeded to go into a round of series with him that was so negative that he asked me to take the interview down, which we did. But here's my bottom line. I've only listened to a little bit of this stuff, but essentially the guy spews a lot of stuff and there's a lot of mess in it. And when people ask me to unpack and explain why a whole bunch of incoherent mess is not coherent, it's a big job to do that, and it's a complete waste of your time and my time to do it. You know, the world develops momentum and power when you're collaborating and collecting people of integrity. It's one of the reasons I do the Solari Report. We want a very high filter. So you've got to be really serious about integrity to get into the Solari Report. It doesn't mean I always agree with you. But you've got to be sincere and you know, as one of my pastors used to say, God does not bless a mess. Now, I don't know what Payne's up to. I don't know if it's entertainment or he's just having fun or he's engaged in a world of covert, you know, covert gossip and is running disinformation. I don't know what his game is. But listening to him, I find, is a little bit like listening to saltwater taffy poured into the engine of a Ferrari. He's taking very complex subjects and oversimplifying and then pushing for a particular action or point of view. And frankly, it's, you know, it's a little bit like doing neurosurgery with a hatchet. So one of the questions you brought up is, you know, is defaulting on our debt a great idea? Well, what do you think is going to happen if we default on all the debt held by all the countries and investors around the world? What do you think is going to happen to global trade? And what do you think that would do to the global and the U.S. economy? Do you really think that's a good idea? One of the ideas is shut down the Fed. Well, if you shut down the Fed before you get the $21 trillion back, then you can't get the $21 trillion back. And you, it's a great way to protect the bankers. You let them totally skate. I mean, is that really what you want to do? The default option, promoting the idea of a default option, is really a way to design or to tee up the rape of Russia. Because the default will not be on the powerful. The default's going to be on the powerless. So if you get the general population to make default a fashionable option, they're going to default on Social Security. They're going to default on federal pensions. They're going to default on military pensions. They're going to default on disability. They're going to default on food stamps. The powerful will have their obligations honored. In fact, you can set things up so you have a partial deal. You know, you divide treasuries into A, B, C. You default on the domestic pension funds, and you honor the treasuries held by the Norwegians or, you know, whatever. What else can you do? You can get massive government employee layoffs. So this is the Kokesh plan. You lay off all the governments, the corporations and banks can run everything, and then you can auction off all the existing. Remember, there's trillions of dollars of assets, particularly national parks and land and real estate, that the, you know, they haven't stolen yet. But I assure you, if you do a rape of Russia, you know, you default on the debt, and then you implode the economy, and then you auction everything off at pennies on the dollar. So, you know, as I read all this stuff, you're basically persuading the general population into thinking it's fashionable to do a plan that is essentially lawless. And who do you think is going to take the brunt of that lawlessness? It's the powerless. So what's my response? My response is enforce the Constitution. Enforce the Constitution. Be for the law. Don't be for lawlessness. Do not propose defaults. Do not propose rounding people up and putting them in Gitmo. Because if you permit that kind of behavior, what do you think it's going to do? It's a trap. Don't fall into the trap. Don't build the trap that will be used on you. Be for the law. Get the $21 trillion back, and then you can carry the debt lawfully. What we need is, you know, the thing we're struggling with is the absence of law. The thing we need is law. I don't know, I'm going to keep repeating this as we go through this. I didn't read the whole incoherent mess you published from the American intelligence media, but a new question about the same thing. Hello, Catherine. I heard you and Joseph talking this PM. You were brilliant as usual. You sounded rested and strong. I prepared this article to go on a Q site, but the site got hacked. I hear you and Joseph saying don't waste your time on Q. I have to agree. Seems to me like a lot of wheel spinning. Everyone is very busy, but I don't really care if X is John McCain, double X is Hillary, and triple X is Obama. Nevertheless, I'm glad to have looked into the topic of consciousness. Rather than spend time in Q, I think I'll do more research on these kinds of topics. That is an excellent idea. I would be interested in your reactions to my article if you have time. I sent a copy to Elena, Joseph, and John. Then another question, what would happen if we default on all the debt held by all the countries and investors around the world? If you can pay debt off with dollars you can print for free, why would you default? Why would you do that? So let me say it again. Enforce the Constitution. Enforce the Constitution before the law, not for lawlessness. Do not propose defaults. Do not propose rounding people up and putting them in Gitmo. This is all a trap. Do not fall into the trap. Do not build the trap that will be used on you before the law. Get the $21 trillion back, and you can carry the debt lawfully. Remember, the debt, the obligations are, who do you think owns the treasuries? It's our pension funds. So we're defaulting on ourselves. Because remember, under the governmental structures, you're liable for all the shortfalls in those pension funds. So I think there is a tremendous absence of understanding of the financial ecosystem. Remember, 50% or more of every income in every one of the 3,100 counties, directly or indirectly, comes from the federal government. So when you say default, what you mean is canceling the income of 50% or more of the people in your county tomorrow. Is that really a good idea? Is that really what you want to do? You're going to implode the economy overnight. It's exactly what they did in Russia. Anyway, I've never heard of so many people this week being excited and happy about supporting the rape of Russia. You know, I can only conclude that this is massive mind control of some proportion. Anyway, I see the general population and the independent media building their own grave. It's pretty frightening. Alexander Hamilton said the first duty of society is justice. I want you to think about how you are going to create the conditions of justice for every man, woman, and child on the planet. Until and unless we do, we will not have justice. And with no justice, we are staring at an inhuman future. So be for the law, and so then the law can protect you. I wanted to read you a quote from A Man for All Seasons, one of my favorite quotes. William Roper, so now you give the devil the benefit of the law. Sir Thomas More, yes. What would you do? Cut a great road through the law to get after the devil? William Roper, yes. I'd cut down every law in England to do that. Sir Thomas More, oh, and when the last law was down and the devil turned round on you, where would you hide, Roper, the laws being all flat? This country is planted thick with laws from coast to coast, man's laws, not God's, and if you cut them down and you're just the man to do it, do you really think you could stand upright in the winds that would blow then? Yes, I'd give the devil the benefit of law for my own safety's sake. So we have large multinationals, the tapeworm on the prowl, looking for profits, and there's nothing more they would love than we cut down all the laws so they could ram through all the internal financial controls and scarf up every penny. So enforce the Constitution and ignore all other plans. Enforce the Constitution, because that is the thing that's standing between us, the abyss. And if you tear it down and you don't enforce it, and if you start making it fashionable to default, if you start making it fashionable to ignore the law, to abrogate contracts, what do you think you're going to get? Catherine, some weeks ago I sent some material on the missing money to Dr. Paul I think it's LaChapelle at Montana State University. He serves in a capacity very similar to Dr. Skidmore. They've proposed the idea of a webinar, which would be hosted on the Montana State University webinar system. Paul reached out to me with some questions. Do you have any thoughts? And then he asked me to send a copy of the new annual wrap-up. And so I'd be delighted to send them a copy. And I, as soon as you guys get it, I would love, I'll send one to you and one to Paul. I'd love to have a chat with you after you've had a chance to review it, because I have some many different ideas about actions we can take to really make a difference and turn the situation around. Catherine, there's a great video from Richard Lighthouse talking about who owns the Fed. It's around the middle of the talk. Compelling how he says it's all out there to see and just why they have not been audited. Just a reminder, we published 2 weeks ago a special report on the Fed to help you understand the legal organization, and I think that's very important because if you want to know one of the most important places to go get your $21 trillion back, there it is. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, April 19th, we have the first quarter wrap-up equity overview. The following week, April 26th, the first quarter wrap-up the space-based economy. And then May 3rd, the SACR, Syria, and the drumbeats of war. Much to talk about with the SACR. So I'm delighted he's coming back for his next segment in the emerging multipolar world. April 20th, after I do Money and Markets next week, I'll be headed to Australia. I'll be in Australia through May 18th and then to New Zealand through June when I'll come back to San Francisco for a week and then back to Memphis. So until next week for the equity overview, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.